ตปรักขณภูราวินาบิดานีนาบิจัมบะมนายาภักติยายสังฆาสัจสัตอนัตมณีสยามนิรกุณีบรมณีจัญจสารถีหริมุหุสตัตปรคาณปูระวินาบินาดีนาบิจัมบะมนายาภักติยายสังฆาสัจสัตยรัตนนัตมณีสยามนิรกุณีบรมณีจัญจสารถีMatajis. Word meaning, Hare, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Moho, constantly, Tatpara, in relation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Karnapura, decoration of the year, Guna Abhidanena, discussing transcendental qualities. Vibramanaya. By increasing Krishna consciousness. Bhaktya. By devotion. He certainly. Asanga. Uncontaminated. Sat asati. The material world, anatmani, opposed to spiritual understanding, sya should be nirgunim, in transcendence, brahmani, in the Supreme Lord, cha, and anjasa, easily, rati, attraction. The devotee should gradually increase the culture of devotional service by constantly hearing of the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These pastimes are like ornamental decorations on the ears of devotees. By rendering devotional service and transcending the material qualities, one can easily be fixed in transcendence in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. This verse is specially mentioned to substantiate the devotional process of hearing the subject matter. A devotee does not like to hear anything other than subjects dealing with spiritual activities or the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We can increase our propensity for devotional service by hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam from realized souls. The more we hear from realized souls, the more we make advancement in our devotional life. The more we advance in devotional life, the more we become detached from the material world. The more we become detached from the material world, as advised by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the more we increase in attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, a devotee who actually wants to make progress in devotional service and go back home, back to Godhead, must lose interest in sense enjoyment and associating with persons who are after money and sense gratification. This is the advice of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Niskanchanasya bhagat bhajano mukha sasya. It's a verse from Madhya Leela 11.8. The word Brahmani used in this verse is commented upon by the impersonalists or professional reciters of Bhagavatam, who are mainly advocates of the caste system by demonic birthright. They say that Brahmani means the impersonal Brahman, but they cannot conclude this with reference to the context of the words bhakta and gunabhidhanena. According to the impersonalists, there are no transcendental qualities in the impersonal Brahman. Therefore, we should understand that Brahmani means in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead as admitted by Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, wherever the word Brahma is used, it must refer to Krishna, not to the impersonal Brahman effulgence. Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagwan iti shabdete. Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagwan can all be taken in total as Brahman. But when there is reference to the word bhakti or remembrance of the transcendental qualities, this indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not the impersonal Brahman. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Ajnanti Manandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshur Milita Nyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovestam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamlan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsta Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raguna Tanvitam Tam Sajevam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Shtav He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Piye Vancha Kalpa Tarbhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnanebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivachari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Mahustat Parakarnapura Gunabina Dena Vijramba Manaya Bhaktiaya Sangha Tadasat Yanatmani Sayan Nirgune Brahmani Chanjasarati. I was told that there were a few paragraphs from yesterday's purport which were not completed. I'm just wondering whether I should read it or I should just skip it. Anyway, in the few chapters. There were three paragraphs, huh, Archita? Maybe I'll just skip it and just, since today is a short class in any case, so we've condensed everything. So, Sanat Kumar is a speaker of this verse, and for the past several verses, we've been reading about Sanat Kumar's instructions to Emperor Prithu. In the previous chapter, that's text 21, Prithu Maharaj has addressed his citizens how they can each achieve perfection in life by glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It'd be nice to have leaders with this mentality today, isn't it? With the king, the head of state, is addressing the citizens. You must worship the Supreme Lord. His father, of course, as we know, was very demoniac. But he said, you must worship the Supreme Lord, dedicate your life fully to the Lord and think about the Lord all the time. As Bhagavad Gita says, whatever great men do, others will follow. So today we see a situation where the leaders of society are completely blind to self-realization and the followers are also following in their footsteps. So Prithu Maharaj gave his citizens very valuable instructions, and the citizens also respected the king. It's not like in today's environment, when the head of state moves around, he has to have such heavy security for fear that someone's going to attack him, that they virtually have to block off all the roads and the airports and everything when the leader is going in any area. But in the Vedic days, the citizens loved the king, and the king would treat the citizens as his own subjects, like his family. Like Lord Ram would even walk in disguise to see if the citizens had any difficulties at all. So Prithu Maharaj was instructing the citizens, and then the Kumaras appeared on the scene, and when the Kumaras appeared on the scene, the king gave them proper welcome that a saintly person deserves. In text 15 of this chapter, we see the king saying that people like you, that famous verse, are the saintly personalities who travel just to enlighten people. They travel all over, saints like you, just to enlighten people. And the king asked the Kumaras for guidance. Even though the king was well versed in the philosophy, even though the king had previously instructed the citizens about what their duty should be, when the king received the Kumaras, he washed their feet, offered their obeisances, and told them, please give us guidance as to how we can achieve the ultimate goal of life. And the Kumaras were very pleased by this inquiry, just like Shukadeva Goswami was very pleased when Parikshit Maharaj inquired, what should one do who is about to die? Similarly, we see in the third canto that Kapila Dev was also asked by his mother Devahuti a similar question. She said, you're the axe that can cut my tree of entanglement, so please enlighten me. How I can become free from the cycle of birth and death? So similarly over here we see that the Kumaras were very pleased when they heard the inquiry from Prithu Maharaj, and they in their response said that you know the answer. You're well versed in the philosophy. Still you're asking us. So this is very glorious. And then Sanat Kumar proceeded to describe various important instructions as to how we can progress spiritually. In the verse that was read yesterday, and which had a very, very detailed purport, Sanat Kumar has pointed out various guidelines he's given how one can make spiritual progress. Now, continuing on the theme is how to achieve the goal of life, how to free oneself from the cycle of birth and death. Sanat Kumar is continuing to educate us as to how we can make spiritual advancement. Because Sanat Kumar says the devotee should gradually increase the culture of devotional service by constantly hearing of the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. An important point to note in this translation is that the word muhu, hare muhu staptara karna pura. So Prabhupada translates the word muhu to mean constantly. So what Sanat Kumar is saying is the devotee who wishes to make spiritual progress should constantly hear about the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is important to understand because many of us, or some of us, do think that we should chant our 16 rounds, and that's it, till the next morning, and rest of the time we can engage in a prajalpa or whatever. Prabhupada gave a story. He said when he was in college, in Scottish College, Calcutta, he had a professor who would tell him that your goal should always be to get higher marks than what you will eventually attain in the exam. Let's say in the exam you need 50% pass marks. So then when you sit in the exam, your goal should be, I'm going to shoot for 70 or 80%. And then you can hope to get 50%. But if you just hope, I'll get 50% and scrape through, then you may not even pass the exam. So Prabhupada gave this example. He had a professor who would tell the students like that. So he gave this example to tell us that our goal should be not just to chant 16 rounds, but our goal should be to chant the holy name all the time. That's our eventual goal. And Sanat Kumar seems to be confirming that in this verse. Sanat Kumar is saying, Hare muhu staptara karna pura. That one should constantly hear the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And further he says, these pastimes are like ornamental decoration of the years of devotees. Just like in material society, we dress ourselves, we use ornaments, jewelry to decorate the body. So what is the ornamentation of a devotee? As the verse explained, the ornamentation of a devotee is to constantly hear the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, this is not the first verse of the Bhagavatam that emphasizes this point. If you read the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, you'll notice that several important points get repeated again and again by different devotees. Why? Prabhupada discusses this point in the purport of the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada says, repetition is necessary to drive the point home. So that's why we see that many important points on the path of devotional service, they get repeated again and again. Just like actually, even in the first canto, a similar message has already been conveyed. Shanvata Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hidhi Antastobhadrani Vidunoti Surat Satam. The content of this verse is almost identical to the content of this verse, where it is said in the first canto Sarvata Swakatha Krishna Punya Shravana. The holy names of the Lord are all auspicious. And because the holy names of the Lord are all auspicious, by hearing the holy names, one can cleanse the Abhidrani, cleanse the heart of mutual misgivings. And over here, Sanat Kumar is saying that the devotee should constantly hear and increase the culture of devotional service with constant hearing. So what is being emphasized in this verse is that if we wish to make spiritual advancement, then we have to get attached to the process of hearing. If we just want to stay constant, or if you want to regress spiritually, then you can ignore the advice of this verse. But over here, Sanat Kumar is emphasizing how we can make spiritual advancement. In material life, we all endeavor to make material progress, isn't it? Let's say you're doing a job. You expect a salary increase every year. Am I right? If you don't get a salary increase every year, you go on strike. I mean, you expect better facilities. You know, they judge the economic progress of countries around the world by seeing, you know, how the living standards are going up and how the poverty levels are going down, how the education levels are going up. So similarly, on the spiritual path also, our goal should be to make spiritual progress. And the yardstick for making progress is being explained over here, that we should constantly hear the glories of the Lord, of the personality of Godhead, and this is like ornamentation for the ears of the devotee. Now, this point, as we said, has been repeated several times. Just like there's a similar message in the first canto, because Prabhupada in the purport talks about that devotees should get attached to hearing the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. Isn't it? Prabhupada mentioned that point in the purport. So in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, there's a beautiful verse that we all recite almost every day. Nasta Pradeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naisi. By regularly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and by serving the person Bhagavat, all that is troublesome to the heart gets destroyed and loving devotional service to the Lord gets established. But what did he say? Regular hearing of the Bhagavatam is absolutely necessary. We see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that when Lord Chaitanya was traveling in southern India, he stayed at the house of a Brahmana called Kurma. Lord Chaitanya's tours of southern India is very nice to describe in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat how he was able to convert virtually all sections of society to the path of Vaishnavism. Even now, when you visit the major temples in southern India, in many of them, you see plaques. Lord Chaitanya visited this location. So when he was traveling in southern India, he stayed at the house of a devotee called Kurma. This Kurma was a householder. And he received the Lord, and he expressed a desire that I would like to travel with you. Lord Chaitanya told him, you don't have to travel with me, but you will never be separated from me if you follow the following, if you do the following. And amongst the 5 points that he mentioned, one of the points was to regularly read the Srimad Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam daily. He said you must daily chant the holy name, daily read the Bhagavatam and the Gita. Probably, based on this instruction, our acharyas made this rule that in every temple of ISKCON, there must be reading of the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. I'm just guessing. It's probably based on Lord Chaitanya's instruction to the Kurma Brahman that one should every day read Bhagavatam and Gita and chant the holy name. And Lord Chaitanya said, if you do this, you will never be separated from me, and I will never be separated from you. So when we talk about hearing, we're talking about hearing the holy name, hearing the transcendental pastimes, hearing the philosophy, or the hearing the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. Lord Chaitanya, when he was traveling in southern India, he also had an encounter with the devotee Ramananda Roy before starting embarking on his tour. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had already told him that on his tour of southern India, he was going to meet this very exalted devotee, Ramananda Roy, who at that time was playing the role of the governor of a southern Indian republic, Madras. So they both met on the banks of the river Godavari, where Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy several questions. And someone may say, isn't that strange? The Lord is asking questions from his devotee. It should be the other way around. The devotee is asking questions from the Lord, isn't it? But we see that the Lord is anxious to glorify his devotee, just like the devotee is anxious to glorify the Lord. We also see that Bhismadeva, when he was getting ready to leave his body, the Lord was there along with the Pandavas, the demigods, all at his bedside. And even though Bhismadeva was lying in the bed of arrows, the Lord instructed Yudhishthira to ask him, what should be the goal of life? So over here we see the Lord is asking Ramananda Roy several questions. We don't have the time to go over all the questions, but one question that's appropriate for discussion is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, what is the chief worshipful object? Among the various objects that we can worship, what is the most important object that we can worship? And Ramananda Roy replied, the chief worshipful object is the holy name of Radha and Krishna, namely the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is our most worshipful object. This is the key to our spiritual advancement. When Prahlad Maharaj returned from school, his father Hiranyakashipu made him sit on his lap, patting him on the head. He inquired, so my dear son, what did you learn in school today? What was the best thing you learned? The father was expecting that Sandhan Amarka, the two teachers of Prahlad, they were the sons of Shukracharya, would have succeeded in brainwashing the son that his father is the supreme. So the father was expecting that he would hear, Daddy, you're supreme, you're the greatest man. But instead, the son explained the ninefold process of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smarnam, Padasevanam, Achandasam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedam. So, when we talk about the ninefold process of devotional service, we hear that the key, the first is Shravanam, hearing. So hearing is absolutely essential if we want to make spiritual advancement. And the scriptures talk about not just hearing. They go a step further. They talk about attentive hearing. Am I right, Vida? Yeah. They talk about attentive hearing, not just hearing. And by attentively hearing the Bhagavatam, attentively hearing the holy name, qualities, pastimes, one can make spiritual progress. Why? Because if we're attentively hearing, then the cleansing of the heart is a lot faster. And therefore, attentive hearing is recommended. Now, in a very nice book called Sri Upadesharmit, Prabhupada gave us many wonderful pieces of literature, and Rupa Goswami gave us many wonderful pieces of literature. One of them was Sri Upadesharmit, and the other was Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that Prabhupada presented under the title of the Nectar of Devotion. Actually, I was personally in Los Angeles in 1971 when we had the temple in the other place, when Prabhupada had just received the nectar of devotion from Dainippon in Japan. At that time, our books were being printed by Dainippon in Japan. And the whole temple room was packed. And Prabhupada was just releasing the nectar of devotion. He lifted the nectar of devotion and said, "This is the law book of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Every devotee should study this book." So Rupa Goswami gave us many wonderful books. We devotees of ISKCON are also known as Rupanugas. We are known as Prabhupadanugas because we follow Prabhupada's path. And we are also known as Rupanugas because we follow Rupanuga's teaching, Rupa Goswami's teachings. So in Sri Upadesharmit, now this is a small book as all of you know. It only has 11 verses. But each of these verses is so significant. And Prabhupada's given such elaborate purports to each of these verses that if you carefully read this, each of these verses with a purport, you'll find that you'll make rapid spiritual advancement. So thus, in the 7th verse of Sri Upadesharmit, Rupa Goswami makes the following statement. He says that the holy name, form, character, and pastimes of the Lord, Allah, are all sweet like sugar candy. Doesn't he say that? The holy name, form, called it pastimes of the Lord, are all sweet like sugar candy. Sugar candy is sweet, isn't it? Doesn't matter which part of the world you reside in, people love sweets. That's why a lot of people are getting hit with diabetes. It is said that there are about 300 million people on the globe having diabetes because people just love to eat sweets. So Rupa Goswami says, the holy name, form, qualities, pastimes of the Lord are all sweet like sugar candy. But because the tongue is afflicted with the jaundice of ignorance or avidya, we are unable to appreciate the sweetness of the holy name, quality, pastimes, etc. Am I right? Because of avidya, just like many times during japa, we fall asleep. Many times we're listening to the Bhagavatam class, we fall asleep. But you never see a person falling asleep in front of prasadam. I don't think you've ever seen anyone falling asleep in Govinda restaurant because they have they're very relishable prasad. It'd be nice to have occasional trips to check people's mood when they're eating. I don't think you'll find anyone falling asleep while eating prasad. They may fall asleep after eating prasad, but not during eating prasad. Now, why is it that when eating prasad and all, we don't fall asleep? But when it comes to chanting the holy name, discussing the philosophy, hearing the philosophy, we fall asleep. So Rupa Goswami gives us the answer. He says, because the tongue is afflicted with a disease, with the jaundice of avidya, just like sometimes you get blisters in the tongue. And then, even if you have the most palatable foodstuff offered to you, you will not be in a position to appreciate its taste. And Prabhupada often used to give us the example of jaundice. Jaundice is a tropical disease, but it's also an international disease. I don't know if it's very common in America, but in many parts of the world, people have never heard of jaundice. But anyway, one of the characteristics of jaundice is that when you have this disease, even if you offer sugar candy or sugar cane, you won't be able to appreciate the sweetness of that sugar candy or sugar cane. It's going to taste bitter. But then, as you progressively recover from this disease, you can, in the same proportion, appreciate the sweetness of sugarcane juice and sugar candy more and more. So Rupa Goswami says that presently our tongue is afflicted with the disease of avidya or ignorance. So what is the cure? In material life or in material situation, many problems are identified, but no solution is presented. Just like AIDS, cancer, so many other diseases. You go to the doctor, he'll say, okay, you have AIDS, you have cancer, you have this. Doctor, what's the solution? Sorry, no solution. So they They identify the problem, but they know there's no solution. But in spiritual life, our sages have identified the problem. The Supreme Lord has identified the problem in the Bhagavad Gita and also given us a solution. So one of the problems is, due to our heavy material conditioning, we are not initially attracted to the holy name, qualities, pastimes, entourage, etc. of the Lord. Now, what is the solution? So Rupa Goswami gives us the solution. He says, by constantly chanting the names of the Lord, this disease of avidya will get cured and you will be able to appreciate the sweetness of the holy name. In other words, by regularly chanting the holy name, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Cheta Darpan Marjanam, the cleansing of the heart will take place and we will be able to appreciate the sweetness of the holy name, character, pastime, etc. of the Lord, by regularly chanting the holy name. So in order to overcome the anarthas, anarthas are identified as those factors that are not really essential for our survival. Just like when we tell people, no smoking, no drinking, no illicit sex, and all, what do people say? What's the value of living if you can't do these things? You might as well die. I've had people who tell me, might as well die, what's the use? But we live without these things, and we find it's very easy to live without these things. Now, at one time, we may have thought, it's impossible to live without this, isn't it? So anartha, similarly, anartha in Sanskrit means that which is not required. So what is not required? Kam, krodh, lobh, moh, mad, matsarya. These are not really required. But some of the other, they have a very dominant influence in our lives. Now what to do? How do we eliminate these anarthas? Because if you want to make spiritual progress, then you have to eliminate these anarthas. You have no alternative. So the sages have identified the problem and given us the solution. And the solution is constant chanting, hearing of the descriptions of the Lord. By constantly hearing and chanting, the heart will get cleansed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu guarantees us that. The heart will get cleansed of this process. And we can actually see in our own society, in today's modern 20th century, we can see that those devotees who sincerely chant here, they are, in the most difficult of situations, able to maintain their spiritual lives, go out and preach, go out and distribute books, and still not be affected. Krishna gives an example in the Bhagavad Gita of a lotus leaf that is in water, but not touched by the water. So we have to operate in such a way that living in the material world, we can maintain our Krishna consciousness, preach, and at the same time, not be affected by the illusory energy. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Devesha Gunamai Mama Maya Dhuratyaya. To overcome this illusory energy is very difficult. But if you surrender to me, then you can overcome. So surrendering to Krishna means getting attached to the process of hearing and chanting. Now with regards to hearing and chanting, the great sages have explained that there are three stages of hearing and chanting. The initial stage is the offensive stage. When you chant and hear, you may be following one, two regulative principles, or you may be committing offenses. I know somebody who chants 32 rounds a day, but still he can't live without liquor. And then I know somebody in Russia, he chants 16 rounds every day, but he can't live without cigarettes. So you're chanting, but you may not be following the regulative principles, and you may be committing the 10 offenses. So the first stage is the offensive stage. Then as you associate with devotees and cultivate spiritual knowledge, you understand the importance of following regulative principles and avoiding the offenses. Rupa Goswami explains this as the process of bhajana kriya. Adho shraddha tata sadhu. Initially you must have the desire that I want to perfect my life. Just like over here we see that Prithu Maharaj is inquiring from the Kumaras, please guide us how we can achieve the ultimate goal of life. So when you come in contact with devotee association, when you come in contact with Prabhupada's books, sadhus, etc., you understand the importance of at least operating at the second stage. That is the intermediate stage, the Namabhasa stage, or the stage where one is following the regular principles and trying best to avoid the offenses. And then, if you make still further progress, you get to the stage of purified chanting or Shuddha Nama. So our goal should be to move up the ladder. In the corporate world, they move up the ladder to gain more power. But in spiritual life, our goal also, as we said earlier, and as the verse here is implying, is to make spiritual progress. But in order to make spiritual progress, it's essential that we also endeavor to improve the quality of our japa, the quality of our hearing, and if we endeavor to do that, then the cleansing of the heart is going to be a lot faster. That is why the sages have recommended attentive hearing. And the nature of spiritual subject matter is that you can never get tired. In the material world, you hear some mundane song once, twice, thrice, you'll get tired, am I right? But in the spiritual world, you can hear the holy name day and night and not get tired. In the Bhagavatam, fourth canto, Narada Muni gives an example. He says, just like every morning, we go and breathe fresh air. So you never feel that I had this experience yesterday, so I should not do it today. You feel the freshness of the air every day when you go out and do it, isn't it? So similarly, when you hear the holy name, when you hear the philosophy, you feel the freshness. Haridas Thakur, you should chant the holy name 300,000 times a day. And he never felt that this was monotonous or too repetitive. In the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, we see that Parikshit Maharaj was hearing the Bhagavatam from Shukadeva Goswami, and he was fasting from everything, including water. But he was getting so much nectar in hearing the holy names of the Lord that Parikshit Maharaj requested Shukadeva Goswami, please go on describing more and more the transcendental glories of the Lord. So the bottom line is, the more we hear, the better off we are spiritually. And the emphasis is not just on the quantity, but the quality of hearing. Our goal should be to be attentive in hearing. We have to endeavor to improve the quality of our hearing. And if we improve the quality of our hearing, then we can make spiritual progress. What Sanat Kumar is really emphasizing in this verse is how we can increase, how we can advance spiritually. And Prabhupada very nicely in the purport says, the more we become detached from the material world, as advised by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the more we remain attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the purport, Prabhupada quotes this verse from the Madhya Leela, in which Lord Chaitanya is telling Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that one who is on the path of spiritual advancement should avoid the association of those who are too materially engrossed. So association is also absolutely essential. We should make sure we have the right association. Rupa Goswami says, mentally honor anybody who chants Hare Krishna. Offer obeisances to one who is initiated and engaged in serving the deities. And associate with and intimately serve one who without deviation is engaged in service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's a lot to be said on these points, but we have a... I can see people looking at their watches. So this is a short class today. But this was a very nectarian verse to speak on, actually. One could speak on this verse for days and days. So to summarize the verse, Sanat Kumar is giving us advice how we can make spiritual advancement. Sanat Kumar is emphasizing the importance of constantly hearing the transcendental qualities of the Lord. And Sanat Kumar further says, by rendering devotional service and transcending the material qualities, one can easily become fixed on the devotional path. So if we want to get fixed on the devotional path, then we have to regularly hear, attentively hear. Sometimes we see devotees are too careless about hearing and chanting. Those who are careless, you may have noted, are not so fixed on the devotional path, and they have been in movement for years and years, but they're not making progress. But those, on the other hand, they have been in the movement for a short time, but because they're attentively chanting, hearing, stunning, they're able to make spiritual progress. So attentive hearing, chanting, and rendering service to the advanced Vaishnavas is necessary if we want to make spiritual advancement. Hare Krishna. Sorry, I went a few minutes overboard, but I cut short the kirtan, cut short everything. But so, thank you. No time for questions? Okay. Hi, Mama Bhaktaji.
Maharaj, so nice to see you.
Was it okay? Today was a short class, so what could I do?
But the essence, the main thing is the
I have to offer you my basis, and you just offer the basis. Okay, no.
It's kind of it's like you were saying, like the rock candy. It has the essence of all the sweetness.
Take that question.